Good morning, those of you who have joined us for our Sunday school lesson on the radio. We're so glad that you did. Appreciate so much you coming and being a part of this ministry. We'd have no purpose of being here if it wasn't for you. So thank you again. We're going to share our identity. I started to say our testimony, but we don't have time for all that.
We might do that too.
Somewhere along the line, we probably will. But anyhow, Brother Leonard, you tell them who you are.
I'm Leonard Hill. I'm pastor right now out at Cold Fire Baptist Church on Old Highway 82. I'm glad to be here.
I'm Mike Hall, pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform.
I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Morgan Ridge Baptist Church in a different association, but I'm delighted to be associated with you guys.
But you are a Christian.
Sir?
You are a Christian.
I'm saved by grace.
We already got one testimony.
Hallelujah.
I'm
here we go.
Owen, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, Florida, Alabama. So, this morning, we're going to have prayer, but let me tell you first, if you're somewhere where you can look at your Bible, we're going to be studying out of John 1, 14 through 18, John 8, 30 through 32, John 18, 36 through the first part of 38. So, let's have prayer now, and Brother Brandon Pinion, would you please lead us in prayer?
Delight. Thank you, our Father, for the opportunity of sharing in the Word of God. It's always a blessing, it's always enlightening, and it's always an inspiration. And I pray that you'll bless and guide us as we share the message today.
That's right.
Those who are listening, our Father, I pray that the Spirit of God will do a work in their hearts if they're saved. But especially if they're lost, I pray, O God, that they'll be saved and that the Spirit of God will do a work within them that is very special.
Yes, God.
Have your own will and way as we deliberate on this, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for the opinion. We've been studying now, and let me tell you, the main title of this section we're studying is Answers to Tough Questions Defending What You Believe. And so far we have studied, do we need to defend our faith? Is there a God? Is there any absolute truth? Does absolute truth exist? And that's today.
That's today.
Absolute truth exist?
That's the culture we live in.
That's right. Absolutely.
And but people will tell you that everything truth is just situational.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the situation. That you can twist stuff around, and especially politicians will tell you that.
Yes.
They'll look you right straight in the face, and they're not all politicians. So some of you mayors and other folks have been elected. We're not talking about you, we hope.
We hope, that's right.
But I do know some folks that can look you in the face and can tell you that a turnip is blue.
Yeah.
Well, there may be some.
Purple top turnips is blue. Yeah. So look out.
I've used the wrong.
You have tangled your feet up around your IT.
Here almost immediately. But it's important for us to know absolute truth.
Satan wants you to believe black is white and white is black, and he'll try to get you to do it any way he can. Yeah. But the truth is, there is absolute truth, and the absolute truth rests in the only one who can give it, and that is God Almighty.
Amen.
And he is the truth.
He is the way.
Jesus is the truth.
The way, the truth, and the life.
Okay, having said that now, I've divided the lesson into three sections, and with all of those scriptures that I've shared with you, the truth about who Jesus is, the truth about why Jesus came, and the effect of the truth that John revealed. So, Brother Leonard, you're to my right. I'll ask you to read the scripture, and we'll look at the truth about who Jesus is.
Okay. John 18, 36 through 38. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. And to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?"
Okay, so an earlier question.
Yes.
The Lord is answering some things about, pardon me, I don't have consumption, so y'all not going to catch it.
Yeah.
But Pilate had asked Jesus, what have you done? Mm-hmm. And then they get into this question about absolute truth. Now, the truth came as a result of that question, "What hast thou done?" Now, Brother Mike Hall, tell us a little bit about what verse 36 says about Jesus' kingdom.
Well, Jesus, when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world," he meant the Jews really wanted Jesus to deliver them from the rule of the Romans. The Jews are a proud people, always have been, and I don't really mean that derogatory, but they are. And they wanted to be delivered from the rule of the Roman government, which was ruler of literally all of the known world of that time. And they wanted a political king. They wanted a political ruler.
Yes.
And when Jesus said that he was the Christ, or when others proclaimed him to be the deliverer, the Christ, the Son of God, they wanted him to deliver from Roman rule. They're just thinking like people think, of what is here, what is now, what is right in front of me, what I'm looking at, holding in my hand. When Jesus said it's not of this world, he meant it's not a political. I'm not political. I'm not here to just temporarily deliver a people from a particular rule politically. I'm here as the eternal king.
Amen.
Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom that will never end.
Yes.
It's an eternal kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom rather than a political kingdom. And so he said, if it was of this world, then my servants would fight to keep folks from getting me, from delivering me up to be murdered, to be killed. But he said, my kingdom is not from here.
Well,
it's not from this earth, politically.
Let me ask you a question, Brother Pinion. There's other scripture that certainly prove that. But if you look at the world today, people killing policemen just because they're policemen. People killing in the military, they're being trained over here to fly planes and be equipped to defend their own country. And then they kill some Americans that are actually involved in training them. Does that pretty well substantiate the fact that Jesus he's not the king of this world, or he'll change that?
Oh, yeah. Every way you look now, Herschel, in our society, you have atrocities. And those atrocities are not delivered by nor a part of the kingdom of Christ.
That's
absolutely
right. Yes.
Christ wants us to love one another, aid and help one another, and be a friend to one another.
Yeah.
And all of the things, not all of the things, but a lot of the things, yesterday morning in our Sunday school lesson, there was a comment made by the author that in Asia or in China, 40 to 49% of the population is atheist. And that, but when you get to thinking about it, though, now, we wouldn't admit, 40 to 49% of Americans would not admit
right.
that they're atheists,
that's
but
right.
they act like it.
Right, yes, sir. They prove they are.
And that's part of the value of human life is zip
yeah.
to a lot of folks.
And that proves, and that substantiates exactly, because whatever Jesus said, he is truth. He doesn't need to be substantiated. So
no, he doesn't.
I don't need to mislead you to say, well, now I know cause this happened. No,
yes.
Jesus is the Son of God, like Mike said. So whatever he says is so. But I remember that when the devil was dealing with him and trying to get Jesus to be submissive to him, he mentioned something. It mentioned something about the prince of the power of the air making those offers. What all? Do you remember about that situation?
Well, not totally, but he, Jesus is not the, just the power of the air. He is
He is not the power
yeah,
of the air.
Yeah, he is.
The devil is one.
Yeah.
Devil is
devil
one.
Is
the Bible
the
refers
air.
To
yeah.
as that.
Right. He's not, but he's under the authority of God.
Right.
He doesn't like to believe that.
No, he don't.
He doesn't like to think that, but he's under the authority of God. He may claim that he has the power, but Satan is headed for the fall.
Well, and it's absolutely the truth when Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world.
Right.
That is cut in stone. You don't need to go any further than that. But over and over again, you see the proof of it.
Well, the trend I see in our society that scares me,
yeah.
and it really does, is because
yeah.
we have begun to believe that we can somehow elect a certain individual,
mm-hmm.
and they can deliver us,
mm-hmm.
that person, you know. And so the politicians have started saying, if you'll elect me. I saw an advertisement just this morning, a political advertisement, from a man who said, I will not allow our president to be impeached. Well, he cannot personally, one man, prevent that from happening,
no.
nor can he, one man, cause it to happen.
No.
But yet he was on there saying, I will not allow this. I will cause us to become more affluent, more prosperous. He cannot do that all alone and by himself, and yet people will buy into that lie, and then they will elect people, and then when it doesn't happen, then they become disenfranchised, they get all upset, they get all angry, and to me, that shows me that people are vulnerable enough to believe that one man, be it the Antichrist, can just take care of all the problems of the world,
yeah.
let's put it all in his hands, and he'll take care of it. And that's where we're headed, ultimately.
Yeah. Right.
That's what's coming. Now, in America, we've always been a republic. Many people think we're a democracy. We're not. We're a republic, a representative form of government. We allow these people to represent us, and if they don't represent us that we want them to, we fire them. We get somebody else.
We don't do it impeachment-wise.
No. We do it at the polls.
Right.
But the problem is that we think, well, okay, if I'll just elect Donald Trump, then America is going to be great again. Well, that Donald Trump by himself, I don't care if he's
That's
president
right.
or whatever, cannot alone make America great again. But the point is, as I'm making, that the Jews believed that Jesus was going to come and single-handedly deliver them from Roman rule. Jesus tried his entire ministry to try to get them to understand. Even his disciples didn't understand. It's not about right now, this moment. It's about eternity.
Right.
And it's about an inclusive, not a religion, but a relationship.
Amen.
With a God who loves us. And if we will live according to the precepts of God, then we don't have to worry about all these shootings and killings in Birmingham and Jackson, Mississippi and Tuscaloosa. We don't have to worry about that. We're going to behave ourselves. We're going to act right and according to, and then we're going to live prosperously, because God blesses those who bless him. He's going to. But we are reaching a point in America where it's not that the judgment we're suffering today, people say, oh, we're under the judgment of God. The judgment we're suffering today is the judgment of God pulling back. Of God letting us have our
right.
little petty way of saying we want a society without God in it. Well, God will do that. He'll let you have that. But you're going to find out real quick, like, it's not what you want. But then it's too late.
Absolutely. So we've all agreed that Jesus' kingdom, although he has a kingdom among people that have accepted him and honor him, fear him, that is, respect him, but it's not of this world.
That's right. It's the greatest of all kingdoms, and it doesn't depend on political clout or political power or military might. It just simply depends on, and that's why in Revelation and in Daniel and in the books of the prophecy, the Bible talks about when Jesus does return.
Right.
What does it say he's going to conquer them with?
Yeah.
The word that proceeds out of his mouth.
Right.
That is nothing more than truth.
Right.
Truth will prevail. Truth will win.
He won't need a nuclear bomb.
He won't need a nuclear bomb. He won't need a bunch of missiles and airplanes. He will simply step out of the spiritual realm, and all of a sudden, Satan and all of his minions will be conquered by the truth that proceeds out of the mouth of Jesus Christ.
And in relation to that, we need to understand as believers, as Christians, that one of these days when we get to heaven, we're going to be judged out of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not for salvation.
No.
But for
reward.
How we have responded to the truth that God has placed within our hands and our heart. God's going to hold us accountable for that.
Absolutely.
That would be related to works, too.
Absolutely, yes.
What are you going to do? Let's say I reckon you're going to get a lot of rewards, I hope so, and crowns. What are you going to do with them when you get to heaven?
Oh, the good part is, if I have any crowns coming, I pray. I don't know. But if I have any, the glory is going to all go back to him.
We're going to lay him at his feet.
Yeah, we're going to lay him right at his feet. Yeah.
And that old song that we used to sing, "Must I go an empty handed?" I may just break out and sing that. "Must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Redeemer so?"
Wow.
Not one gift to lay at his feet. Not one crown.
That's going to be a sad day.
It'll be a sad day.
That's enough.
You don't have to sing it. We appreciate you giving us the word.
Give me a cue for
that's enough.
On that guitar and I'll sing it. Well, having said that, now we're talking about this absolute truth exists, not human truth. It never is absolute.
Right.
And man-made truth, I don't care what it is. They'll tell you this car's guaranteed for 8,000 miles. And if you must get a scratch on it, we'll just fix it. You can't back down and see what to say.
See what they do.
Oh, there's a clause over here.
Yeah. There's always a hook.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
It's not a Santa Claus either. It's a clause.
All right.
That now changes truth, so it's not absolute anymore.
No.
It's just to hook you in, get you in. But now, having said that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And I'm glad it's not. Man, if it were, with all the dishonesty and all of the sin that I see about us, then I'd begin to wonder, well, Jesus, why, if your kingdom's here, why are you allowing all that to go on? But now the second question in that rest of that scripture, but is he a king? Is he a king?
Well, that was what Pilate was asking him. Are you a king?
Yes. And what did Jesus say?
Yes.
Pilate was asking because he was afraid Jesus was trying to take his spot away from him.
Right.
You know, he was very politically ambitious. And he didn't want Jesus taking his spot. And Jesus said, "You say I'm a king."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Jesus was, yes, being sarcastic. But at the same time, he was just saying, "Look, you got it in your head that I'm a king." And that's, that was just simply throwing it right back in Pilate's face.
That's right.
That you're worried about me being a king.
That's the reason I'm before you, is because you were worried about me being a king.
And then Jesus said,
Pilate was worried about his own status.
He was worried about his own financial status and political clout.
Right.
And then Jesus said, "To this end I was born.
Yeah, that's right.
For this cause I came into this world."
That's right.
"To bear witness to the truth." And what is the truth? Truth is that when this old world comes to its final conclusion, the last T's crossed, the last I's dotted, Jesus will be the only one Amen. Left standing.
Amen.
And his kingdom will be for Amen. All eternity.
That's right.
Regardless of whether Pilate is a part of it or not, I won't say, but that's between him and God. But it's about our relationship with Christ.
That's right.
Because this is what Jesus said, like Mike said. He said, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born."
That's why he came.
I came to be a king.
Yeah.
Eternal king.
And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth.
That's right.
And so he is king. He's not king of the United States of America or the hemisphere or the circle that we live on called Earth. But he is king in people's hearts.
That's right.
He's king of the universe. He knows every star.
He does.
Calls them by name.
He does.
Yeah.
He created it all. Why can't he be the absolute truth? Why can't he tell us what to do and what not to do?
Yeah.
Listen, I submit. How does he even know who I am?
Yeah.
And yet he wants a relationship
with
me.
There's 6 billion people. Other people.
Yeah.
He knows Harry, Jane, Sam, Bob.
He knows them all and knows how many.
Yakamoka.
I knows how many hairs is on the head.
Yeah.
Good night.
But you know what? As king, this is the best part for me. As king, he was financially, spiritually, and everything else able to pay the price for my sin. Now, if I owed Brother Pinion, let's say if I owed him $1,000 and I come to him and say, "Brother Pinion, I'm sorry, I just don't have it." And he looks at me and he says, "Well, that's okay, Brother Leonard. I'll just forgive you of that. And
I'll go ahead and pay now, that for you myself."
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. See, he's going to bear the cost.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bear the cost. I mean, you can't just wipe it off. There's a cost there.
Right.
And that's the way it was sin.
The wages of
and
sin
that's
is
it.
What?
Death.
Death.
But the gift,
somebody's got to pay it.
The gift, that's right. And the good part is Jesus, as the king,
mm-hmm.
eternal king,
right,
eternal. One day we're all going to have to stand before God and going to have to answer. And I can cheerfully and gloriously say, he paid it all.
That's it.
He paid it all. All was rested on him.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I want to clarify is when you said he's going to pay. Now, let me ask the question. Who is he going to pay?
I'm talking about if you owed him, he owed you $1,000.
No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Now, he's not paying the devil.
No.
He's paying his own righteousness.
Amen.
He's paying because he has demanded that it come.
Good point, yes.
And what I want to do is I want everybody out there that's listening to understand that when the payment comes,
yes,
it's not going to the devil.
That's right.
It's going to his own righteousness,
yes,
and to his own love,
that's right,
and to his own sacrifice.
And the
right.
truth of the matter is the payment has already been made.
Oh, yes.
That's
yes.
what I'm saying. He bore the cost. You see, with that $1,000 I'm talking about, you're going to bear the cost.
Yeah.
And that's what he does for us when we
yeah, you're right.
come to him. Amen.
I'm glad we clarified that because
Amen.
There might be a lot of folks out there that think that the payment of God, the sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross might have been to the devil.
No.
But it wasn't.
I don't owe the devil nothing. Anything.
But we were.
What? Nothing probably wasn't good English.
It don't matter.
But I don't know him no thing.
Well, we know it's zero.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
But we were indebted.
Yes.
We were slaves to the devil.
Absolutely.
We were totally slaves to the devil. And the word redeemer means what?
He bought us out. Amen. There's no free lunch.
He paid the price.
So, with the I know another song, and you boys clap while I sing it, when there ain't nobody clapping. It says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone?" Now, I can't die for you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
If they hung me on a cross tomorrow, it wouldn't help you a bit.
No, not at all.
It wouldn't help me a bit either.
That's because your debt's too big for you to pay your own debt.
Exactly right. But Jesus did pay it for I don't know how many billions of people have lived. I don't know. But he paid the debt for everybody. That just goes beyond my thinking. I cannot imagine paying the debt, the awful torments of hell for eternity for all the billions of people.
For everybody, whether they receive it or not.
No, that's right.
Wow.
And that just, to me, blows my mind.
So the truth is this. Either your sins will be paid for by Christ on the cross, or by you for all eternity.
Amen.
Period.
Burning pits of hell.
It's one way or the other.
Yeah.
And that choice is right now, as long as you're living, is yours to make. Jesus has already done his part. He's not going to force you to. He's not going to just step off on a cloud and say, okay, you're going to do this whether you like it or not. He just says, listen,
that's right.
Come, receive, believe.
Amen.
As the Bible simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
That's it.
So you'll either die in Christ, saved, redeemed, or you'll die in your sins,
right.
Which means unsaved and damned and doomed forever.
And how do they do that, Mike? I had a place marked on my copy here that I was going to get us to do this plan of salvation, but you brought us right to the point, so we need to...
Well, it's real simple. The Bible doesn't make it complicated. Christ doesn't. God doesn't make it complicated. It's real simple. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Well, how do you believe? Now, I believe it's going to rain. I'm looking out the window there.
But that don't make it rain, does it?
No,
it don't. But in Christ, he says, if we believe that he is the Son of God, if we simply believe. But first, you've got to believe there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to believe that God Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, is who he says he is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
Start there. It's real simple. If you believe that God is God, then you believe Jesus Christ is his son, and then you place your faith and trust in him. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's not about saying, okay, if I do this and I do this and I do this, it's just simply about a relationship with the wonderful, loving Son of God.
Amen.
And you just put yourself in his hands.
Repentance. I remember it said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, I'm going to a point here. I want you to hit me. In the Old Testament, Jesus wasn't here. How did those folks get saved? What was their what was their faith in when they brought an animal and shed its blood? What were they anticipating?
They were anticipating the coming of the Son of God.
Amen.
And they weren't saved.
No.
They were protected. And they were provided for. And every individual who ever has lived or lives now is saved by the grace of God through the sacrifice of the Son of God. Those individuals back then, when they put their sacrifice on the altar, that sacrifice was protecting them from the coming of For the coming of the Son of God.
It was showing their faith.
They
believed that one day the Messiah would come, the real sacrifice would come.
What
did John say? Behold who?
Behold the Lamb of God.
Now, the mothers weren't the lambs of God back then.
No, they weren't.
But now the real sacrifice is here. There he is, he said, walking down the street.
Yeah. He's the sacrifice.
But they were all symbols of the Lamb of God.
That's right. That was the key to it.
And from the book of Genesis again.
Well, they were obedient to God. And because of their obedience to God, he protected them and provided for them until the coming of the Son of God.
And it was all by faith.
It was all by faith.
They couldn't see. They didn't know who Jesus was going to be.
No idea.
They didn't know when he was coming either. But they knew he was.
And where he was going to be born.
They knew he was going to be the perfect sacrifice.
Right.
And God was just providing for them and protecting them during that process.
But you know, I thought about something just this past week. The Jews have always felt like that they were the only people in the world, the Old Testament Jews.
Right.
They thought that the Messiah was going to come just for them. Right. So when John said what you're talking about, "Behold the Lamb of God," the rest of that verse says, "Who taketh away the sins of the
world."
And so sometimes we forget that it's for everybody.
Amen.
Doesn't make it difference who you are. He came that everybody, as Brother Mike stated a little bit ago.
And it ain't no different. So, that was no difference.
It's
still for by grace are you saved through faith.
Yes.
Whether you're Abraham or whether you are Herschel Owen.
And faith comes by the hearing of the word.
Right. So God said it. God told them to do it. They did it. And then you got to the New Testament, got to where we're studying today. And old Pilate said, I want to know about this truth. What is truth?
Well, what did Jesus do when he asked him what is truth? He stood there and he looked at him.
Yeah.
Silently, Pilate was looking at truth. He had it eyeball to eyeball right in front of him, and Jesus just stood there and looked at him. Yeah. I thought that's an amazing statement that he would just look at him. Because how many times have you tried to tell somebody something that you know is the absolute truth? But it wouldn't have mattered if you'd have told them 15 times or 15,000 times. They were not going to believe it. Pilate was not going to believe the truth of Jesus and who he was. Wasn't going to happen. And Jesus just stood there. He didn't cast his pearls before the swine. He just stood there and looked at him. That's an amazing fact to me. I've just wondered oftentimes, what's it going to be like for Pilate in the judgment?
And I wonder what Pilate was thinking while
ain't the truth. Can you imagine?
Well, he had to know.
Knowing.
Yeah.
Well, he had to know who could. Let's suppose that we live back in Pilate's day, and there was a fellow that came into town, and Hezekiah, that lived on the main street there in the town, couldn't see.
Right.
But this fellow came in by the name of Jesus, and he spoke a word, and now Hezekiah can see.
Yeah.
Can you do that, Leonard?
No.
Can you do that?
No, absolutely not.
No.
Well, in one case now, he made a little mud pie.
He did.
don't forget that mud pie.
In one case, and we get clarification. One case, when he got through, the man said, "I see men walking as trees."
Yeah.
Now, what was the purpose of that? I don't know.
When
Jesus said, "You go on, that's the best I can do."
That's the best I can do for you.
Did you do that? No.
I think those trees came into focus, though.
I think they did.
And before he got away from Jesus, 2020 wouldn't hold a light.
Amen.
Wouldn't hold a light.
No cataract.
No cataract.
No. And by the way, I just had cataract surgery recently. And man, I'm telling you, it is amazing. This ain't got nothing to do with the Sunday school lesson, but if you need cataract surgery, you go get it.
Yeah.
Get her done. That's right. Absolutely.
It's amazing how I see now. I wish I saw, and I guess I have, spiritually. It improved that much after my salvation.
Right.
Now, some of you are listening and you're skeptical about what we're saying. You're living a worldly life. You may be an alcoholic. You may be addicted to drugs. You may be an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. Prove there's a God. I don't need to.
Me either.
Because I listened on Sunday. Our lesson was, look at the stars. How many stars is up there, Leonard?
I have no idea.
God does.
Yeah.
He knows every one of them.
How come they don't bump into each other all the time? I mean, well, look up and just see the most awful fire going on where they run together.
Nope, they don't.
Why?
They're far enough apart, they don't touch.
Well, and God...
Guided by the hand of God.
Yeah.
Now...
Is there life on some of the other planets? Only God knows.
If there is.
If there is, God's in control of them, too.
Yeah, that's right. I hope they didn't do what old Adam and Eve did. But that's the main point is simply this. When Pilate looked at Jesus, he was looking at truth.
He was looking at truth. And one day he will see that same truth once again. In a different way, though. That truth then will be looking at him from the judgment seat.
That's right.
And then what?
Yeah.
And it'll be the same way with every individual that's listening to our voice today.
There'll be some sad singing in slow
ride. It will be. And the sad part of it is it'll be too late.
Yeah.
Too late. I saw a little old sign the other day. We're near Christmas. And it said, "Hey, Santa, is it too late for me to be good?" Well, there's going to be a day when it's going to be too late. Too late. And standing
there. It's
already
too late for us to be good.
It is already for this Christmas.
But we can be made righteous.
Trust me. Yes.
And you that are listening, if you heard what Michael said a few minutes ago, and you will do that, you will confess you're a sinner, you cannot fix your sins, and you believe Jesus died to fix them, pay for them, and ask him to forgive you and come into your heart, I'm telling you, you're going to be different.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
I've got a little great-grandson that is six. And I was talking to his daddy. We're arranging to have his baptism. And his dad said, "You know, even that six-year-old kid can tell the difference."
Oh, yeah.
Since he accepted the Lord.
Absolutely, you can.
And I know my life from, and I'm not going to confess here. This is not a confession time. But it was everything but absolute truth. And when Jesus came into my heart, I want you to know he made a difference.
Absolutely.
And he made a difference then, now, and for all eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Won't it be, I don't know the song, won't it be wonderful there?
Won't it be wonderful there?
Uh-oh.
Here we go again.
Back singing again.
But if there's no difference, it makes me wonder if they got the Holy Spirit living within them and if it was real. Sometimes people just hope and pray that they'll change and quit drinking or quit this or quit that.
Turn over a new leaf.
Yeah, but it has to be. It has to be. I read a book, and I appreciated what this guy said. He said the new birth, and I never had any really emphasize it like this, but he said there has to be a conception.
Oh, yeah.
A conception.
Right.
And that conception takes place when the Holy Spirit of God burdens your heart. And for the first time in your life, you realize that you are separated from God. And I got to thinking about that. I said, you know, how many folks come to the altar and just say, "You know, preacher, I just really need to get saved."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, I kind of wonder if there's ever really been any conception there.
Right.
Because it's kind of like a woman having childbirth. You know, when she goes through that, man, that's painful.
Yeah.
Right.
But afterwards, it's joy.
That's right.
And that's the way it is with new birth.
What is repentance in all of this? I think you're just right on top of it there.
Yeah.
If there's no repentance, what is repentance?
Yeah.
Repentance is turning away from our sin and turning to God.
Yeah. Yep.
Turning to God from our sin.
If that is not in there, you are not saved, dear friend.
Absolutely.
You may have your name on every road in the country out there where you are going to church. Even the tap, you may have been baptized so much that the tadpoles know your name.
Right.
And but you're still going to die and go to hell. Never has been a time when you repented and had confessed that you were a sinner and a helpless sinner.
Well, it's kind of like Jesus said over in, I believe it's Matthew chapter 5, where he said you can't serve God and man.
Right.
You can't do both.
That's right.
And the reason for that is because they're in opposite directions. If you're walking toward the world, you're walking away from God. And if you're walking towards God, you're walking away from the world.
If you're going north, you can't be walking south.
That's right. You can't walk both ways at the same time. So, anyway.
Well, it's like somebody said about those politicians in Washington, they can't chew gum and more again.
Oh, no.
But anyhow, we kind of like wanting to say they're bipartisan.
They're bipartisan.
I don't believe you can be bipartisan.
I have to question that.
I tell you, we've hit a good place there, but that absolute truth does exist.
Yes.
And it starts with, in the day's lesson, with what John's teaching, with Jesus.
Christ alone.
In Christ alone. I know another song, but I won't go on. Let me say that but I can tell you this morning, if you want to know the truth, you're going to have to know Jesus.
Amen. That's it.
Well, I tell you, I wish we could stay there, but our time's going to run out, and we're going to have to be moved. As one of my esteemed brothers here said, moving right along.
Yes, yes.
That would be Brother Pinion.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Words of wisdom. John 1:14-18?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this is He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared it.
Brother Pinion,
yes,
the man who said, let's move right, moving right along. But let me ask you this, who is this Word?
Who is the Word? Jesus Christ.
And why would he be called the Word?
Well, I really don't know. I tell you, the reason that we call him the Word is because the book says it.
That's right.
Now, and I'll trust the book and not question why.
Yeah. But there's a reason.
All right, tell
who
us about
the Word?
Tell us about it.
Well, Christ is the Word.
Christ is
the Word. The Bible says He was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the living Word. He is the final Word.
What is a Word? If I say, good morning, Mike, what is a Word?
Well,
it's an expression
of what you are, who you are, and it comes forth from your mouth. And that ties completely in with the end times and with the second coming of Christ, when the Word proceeds out of His mouth. The Word is flesh. Christ lived the Word. I wish I could. Mm-hmm. I wish I could live the Word. But the Word is a true, full heart expression of God. The Bible tells us that from the heart, confession is made unto salvation. And when our words come forth, then our words are who we are. They express who we are. Old preacher used to say, when you slosh a bucket, what's inside is what comes out. And that's kind of the way it is with us.
Well, think about this with Jesus there. Now, when Isaiah was a good prophet, great prophet. He prophesied about Christ is coming. Mm-hmm. He prophesied about many things. But when he came, did we really know God through Isaiah?
No, Isaiah wasn't the living Word.
Had he been living with God for all eternity?
No. He spoke as he was revealed the Word of God, but he didn't live the Word.
Well, so there was only one who could come and could express God's mind and heart, because that's what a Word is.
Straight from the heart of God.
So Jesus came.
How about if we say this? I don't know whether I'm correct or not.
You guys say it anyhow.
You guys have been in the ministry much longer than I have. But in the beginning, it says, God said, let there be
light. Light.
Let there be. Well, when you look at Colossians chapter 1 and you look at verse 16, it says, for by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, where the thrones. And it goes on and says all that, for he was before all things. Now he's talking about Christ.
Yeah,
so Christ was with God in the beginning. Christ didn't begin at Bethlehem. Christ had in the beginning he was there.
Yeah. And so eternity back.
If I compare Colossians with Genesis, God spoke the word. And so
Jesus was the word.
And in Colossians, you have the most wonderful description of the Son of God anywhere in the Word of God.
Yes.
What does it say, that verse? It says, in the beginning was the Word,
and the Word,
the word was with God.
And the Word was.
And the Word was God.
The Word was God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So, when Jesus came, who came to us? God.
God in the flesh.
God in the flesh.
That's right.
Well, didn't the Bible say, "No man has seen God, but revealed, but as revealed through the Son of God."
Yeah, amen.
So here we are.
Yeah, back to square one.
That's right.
And where you turn, He's the Word.
Yeah,
He's the Word.
He is the Word. Amen.
And if you want to know about God, and you want to know God, and you want to spend eternity with God, you better know the Word. Not know about Him, but know Him.
I see it.
Know Him. In Him is life eternal.
You know,
many people don't take time, really, to study and read the Word of God and compare Scripture with Scripture.
They don't.
And you have to do that in order to truly know God and to truly know who Jesus is. And as the more you do that, the more your relationship will grow with Him, and He'll become so personal to you that you'll just realize that when you're in the car, that Jesus is there with you. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you." Boy, what a blessing! Just to know that when trouble comes, Jesus,
beyond,
how do I handle this?
Beyond understanding.
That's what I say. Jesus, how do I handle it? Just turn next to Him. He's there.
So Jesus is the Word. He is God. He is divine. And in verse 14, John said, included himself along with others who had responded to Jesus, and we beheld His glory.
How could they see his glory, Michael? Well, I tell you what, do you have any
glory?
I have oftentimes thought, man, I'd love to have been there, you know, and heard Him preach, heard Him teach. I'd love to have seen Him, you know, performing miracles. But, you know, there was a lot of people there who didn't behold His glory. They didn't believe Him. They didn't believe who He was. If you remember, even in the little town of Nazareth,
that's right.
How many miracles did He perform in Nazareth? I mean, he walked away from Nazareth. Not one apostle came from Nazareth. Not one miracle performed in Nazareth. He never went back to Nazareth to do. Why?
If he'd hung out in Nazareth long, they'd have killed him.
They would have. And so the whole point that I'm making is that the ones who behold His glory are the ones who put their faith in Him, who desire to see His glory.
And that's the only way you can.
And when you desire it, He shows it to you. And then inside of you comes the Holy Spirit, and you start to love the Word of God, as you were saying a few minutes ago. And you start to want to read the Word, and you start to want to. And the more you read it, the more you understand, the more the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. And the more you understand it, the more you want to serve Him, the closer you want to get to Him.
Amen.
And that's the growth of a Christian.
Amen.
I get so frustrated. People sometimes, they'll see somebody come to the altar and, well, we'll see whether or not it lasts. Listen, get in there and help him.
Right.
You know, help him to see. Because a new Christian is like a new baby. They're born again.
That's it, right.
They've got to learn.
Be nurtured.
They've got to be nurtured. They've got to have teachers. And the Holy Spirit is that. But yes, we are too.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility to help one another. And so, to me, that's what I see in beholding the glory of Jesus. How do we see the glory of Jesus today?
That's right.
We see it in Leonard. We see it in Herschel. We see it in Brannon.
I don't know the song.
No, look at it.
Let other seas.
Jesus in you.
In you.
And that's the way we behold the glory of God today. And if others aren't seeing Jesus in you, then I got to question whether or not He's in you.
That's right.
Well, we see the glory of God more revealed, Mike, really, in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
In the Word of God.
That's right.
And
we've
then, as that Word is reflected in guys like us.
Right.
Or in other guys.
Right.
Wherever, whoever, whenever.
Right.
There is a revelation there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Of the same thing.
Yeah.
But our greatest picture of Him is going to be in the Word.
It is.
One of the things that bothers me, I guess, I've seen people that have been saved for 40 years, and you ask them to teach a Sunday school class. So even young people, you know, we got these young folks. We need to have a teacher. Oh, I can't do that. I don't know. I'm not. Well, when we spend time in the Word of God, God expects us.
That's right.
I don't care who you are. You don't have to be a pastor.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be a deacon. But, you know, God expects every believer to spend time in the Word and to share the Word of God. It's not just preacher's responsibility. God's going to hold everybody accountable for sharing the Word of God if you're saved. Born again.
And when I was a young man, I went to college at Livingston. It was Livingston University then, West Alabama now. I went down there, and my girlfriend was in Reform. And that's about an hour and a half apart. But you know what? When that girl sent me a letter, I couldn't wait to read that rascal.
That's right.
And I didn't just read it. I read it again.
And then I'd get it out
after a while, and I'd read it again. And every time she said, "I love you," boy, my little hair would stand on end, and I'd just be so excited. So I'm saying, if you love God, you're going to love His love letter.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bible is His love letter to you, and you're going to want to read it again.
That's right.
And again. Yeah, and every time He says, "I love you," it's going to make your hair stand on end.
You're going to make me shout.
To me, that's what it's all about. And I couldn't wait till the day when I could go home and see that sweet thing.
Yeah, wonderful.
Oh, and look in her heart.
Yeah.
And so,
wonderful illustration.
But it is that way.
Yeah, and
it is that way.
I love to swim.
Yeah?
But I hate water.
You're in a mess.
You're in a mess. Does that make sense?
It don't make better sense.
No.
I love God and what God said. But I don't like to read His Bible. It's too hard to understand.
Oh, listen, that don't go together.
No.
That don't go together.
Is it far apart?
That don't go together.
It's loving to swim and hating water. Sorry.
Going in the opposite direction. That's where it's meant to go.
That's right. It don't work that way.
So the truth about Jesus, He is the Word. If you're going to know what God is, you're going to have to know what Jesus is.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You can't read what Dr. John or Dr. Bob or Miss Susie or somebody else wrote. You must know what Jesus said. and it's like one of you said a few minutes ago, well, as you intend that story about like to get a letter from your girlfriend. I love the Word of God.
I do too. I love it. I love it. I feed on it. It's just something that you know, when you pick it up and you start to read it, it just, I don't know, it just feeds your soul.
It does.
It's sweeter than nanner pudding.
It is.
There's things that I have read many, many times, and then one day I'll pick the Bible up and I'll read that again, and all of a sudden God will say, "You've been missing this. Let me show you something."
That often happens.
Yeah, it
too does.
Yeah, that's why I tell folks all the time, the Word is living.
Amen.
That means that it is where you are.
Right.
Because today, my life is experiencing things that it wasn't experiencing yesterday.
Right.
But yet the Word of God still
addresses that.
And it may be that same verse that addresses what I was into yesterday.
Isn't that amazing?
But today it hits it from another angle and just beautifully fits it just as well or better.
Yeah.
And it's a living word. It's not like when I was in high school, we studied biology. Man, them old biology books we had back then, they'd laugh at you if you opened them books and started trying to teach out of them today.
Dry as dust.
Dry as dust. And a lot of the stuff that's in there, they done proved it ain't true. But it ain't so with the Bible. Everything in God's Word is just as relevant right this minute as it was the moment that Paul wrote it with pen and ink. It's just as living, just as applicable to me right now as it was when I first got saved 50 years ago.
And that is the truth about why Jesus came.
It is.
To reveal the Father, reveal God, reveal His love, His mercy, His willingness to forgive us, His willingness to walk with us. And John said in those verses, and I've got to just rush through them because we're running out of time, Jesus existed before John.
Oh, He did.
You can't go back just to the manger and say, well, that's where Jesus began. All that come to Jesus are blessed.
Yes.
The Bible says. The law came by Moses, but what came by Jesus? Grace and truth.
Yeah. You know, the sad part is that too many people look at the Lord and look at the Bible and look at Christ as being, you know, legalistic, the law, and I can't do this, and are you going to take all the fun out of my life and all of that mess that Satan puts into your head. But I'm telling you, the sweetest thing in the world is to walk with the Lord.
Amen.
There is nothing sweeter than to lay your head on a pillow at night and think back over the day and fade into sleep in the loving arms of God, knowing that all is well. Man, I tell you, there ain't no better sleep in the world.
And you can't handle your troubles by yourself. They'll come. Every man, woman, boy, or girl has troubles, but I serve a Savior that's bigger than all troubles.
Absolutely.
It's like you mentioned, you said something a while ago about having fun.
You
take all the fun.
Right.
A lot has to do with definition.
That's
it. When you define fun, what is fun?
Absolutely.
For some folks, it's going to the bar and getting drunk, falling out,
vomiting all the way. Everybody else.
For me, fun.
Then not having money to pay the rent.
Some good preaching and.
Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree.
Well, I've been on both sides of the fence.
I have too.
Personal experience, ain't nothing like being a Christian.
I have too.
I'd rather be an old time Christian than anything I know.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I'd rather have Jesus.
We'll get started.
We got another singing.
Yeah, we have
to. I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know.
Amen.
George Beverly Shea.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't with us, but.
Well, I'm saying if you want me to.
That's all right. We'll pass.
And I can join you.
We'll pass.
We're going to have to pay. But let me just sum this up.
Yeah.
When Paul said, what is truth? Truth is Jesus. And here's the truth about Jesus. He existed before John. He bless you if you'll come to Him humbly and in submission and in repentance. All that Moses in the Old Testament gave us the law, not that it was inferior, but it could not save us because it was no problem with the law. The problem was with us.
No, not at all. Problem with the law.
Amen.
The problem was with us. And then Jesus brought grace and truth. And then it didn't depend on us. It depended on Him.
That's right.
And let me quickly address something. While you were talking about the law, and then Jesus came.
Yeah.
Now understand, and I heard somebody say this the other day, and it kind of, I don't mean to criticize anybody, but said that Jesus replaced the law. He didn't replace the law. He fulfilled the law. In other words, it's not that the law doesn't still apply.
No.
The law applies in the sense that it tells us, it shows us what God wants and doesn't want, and so forth and so on. But Jesus shows us how to please God even beyond the law. It's not that I want to fulfill every little point, and like the Pharisees would pick their little spices, and every tenth leaf would go in the bag for God. That Christ takes us beyond that. He takes us to where we want to just please God over and beyond what the law says.
Give him the nine and the one.
That's it. You know, I don't get up every morning and read the Ten Commandments with white knuckles and saying I'm gonna do this today if it kills me. I get up every morning just, God, help me to know how I can please you today.
Amen.
What can I do? Where can you take me? Where can I go that's gonna do something that's gonna make you happy?
Magnify his kingdom.
That's it. Just
Lord,
let me.
We're running out of time by like a freight train. Going now. So read that verse 8:30 and 32.
Back up a page there. You got it right there.
Verse 30. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
We got 30 seconds, so somebody in 25 seconds.
Well, you got the thing in hand here.
All right, I will be happy to. Because of John's testimony, people believed in him. If you will be the Christian you ought to be, then they'll believe in Jesus too.
Amen.
Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what you've heard us say and what you've experienced. We pray that you'll join us next week as we share again some truths about the truth.